Blog Talk Radio.
My heart's torn in pieces.
Well, God bless all my radio listeners this morning. To God be the glory. Oh, my goodness, I'm so excited to be your guest, your servant host leader on this morning, because I have a special guest. My name is Apostle Dr. Rosalyn Overton, and I have such a surprise for you all on today. You all know this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. So, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Well, follow me as I follow Christ. Global Prayer Warriors is commanding your morning this morning, and we will do it with a special preacher, teacher, prophet, prayer warrior. God has blessed him with many anointings. And so I'm so excited to have him join in prayer with you all on today. As always, please go ahead on and invite someone to the line, 213-943-3799. Or just have them tune in to blogtalkradio.com and go under the LFC specialist, and you will see us, you will hear us. We are live. So excited for this day. God is an awesome God. And the beautiful thing about this is that when we are interceding and we are commanding your morning, we're doing so under the pretenses and under the boldness of Holy Ghost power, knowing that we have that authority to command. We can command the winds. We command the seas. We command the fowl. We have such a powerful right to command the elements. And so we could command some things that would go wrong. They need to align up and go right. So I'm excited for that on today, because this is, like I said, a truly, truly anointed man of God. He agreed to come and be on the show today. I have already started receiving prayer requests. Oh, yes, which brings me to, if you need to text in a prayer request, you can't listen by phone. You might be working or whatever that reason is. Please go ahead on and text it to 847-942-9979. It's so important that we do that, because we don't know who you are when you text us. And so that prayer request remains confidential, and we do pray over them. All we ask is that you go ahead on and text us when the results, when the victory, when you have triumphed, please let us know. We're excited for that. I just want you to know that we are giving out blessed oil. If you would like a bottle of blessed consecrated oil, please write us to P.O. Box 558-394, P.O. Box 558-394 in Chicago, Illinois, 60655. I'm trying to hurry up and get all my announcements out of the way, because I'm just excited for the guest prayer warrior this morning. And so I have not said his name. If you have looked on my Facebook page, or if you have looked on the Global Prayer Warrior page, you will see his name and his picture, and you'll know that he has agreed to join us on this morning. So like I said, if you haven't already, please go ahead on and invite someone to the show. They will be blessed. forgive me. And we are excited to pray with and for you all. We are excited. It's a pleasure. It's an honor. So I'm not going to just hold up the line any longer. I want to go ahead on and have him get tuned in. This is our own guest prayer warrior, guest prophet, R. Carter Thomas. We have him on the line this morning, all the way from Ohio. What a blessing. Are you here with us?
Yes.
Man
yes,
of God,
ma'am.
Can you hear us? Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Amen. Amen. What a blessing.
Yes, it's such an honor.
We're so excited for you to be able to be with us on today. This is truly an honor. I don't ever want to treat the men and women of God like they are less than the way the secular treats their celebrities. You know, you are a celebrity in the kingdom, and we want to just give you the utmost honor and respect. And this is pleasing unto God. Because we are supposed to treat others better than we would treat ourselves, and then it would balance out. Would it not, man of God?
Amen. Amen. You know, and whenever I'm around you, whenever I talk to you, I feel that. I know that that is real. It's authentic coming from you and from everybody that's a part of Labor for Christ, Ecumenical Apostolic Ecumenical Network. I feel it every time I'm around. The honor is always shown. It's felt. Again, the love is always there. The joy is always there. I love being around my Chicago family.
Well, the Chicago fam loves being around you all of Ohio. We might sit up under different leadership, but you know that I'm still loving the Bonds and the Hendersons and everybody that's down there. You know, I used to love those every other week or once a month trips to Toledo to help undergird Prophet Henderson when he was, oh my goodness, he was working, I believe, with the Salvation Army men, and we would all just come together and we would worship. So
this is
what we're going to do today. Yes, yes, we are looking forward to doing that with you today. I wanted to be able to lend over the mic this morning to give you as much time as you would need because the people were listening to you live the other week. You go live on your Facebook. It's such a blessing. I'm one for prayer. I always have been, I think since a teenager, been really strong in prayer because that was just the way I was reared up. And so when you were doing your prayer, your nightly prayer, I tried to tune in any time that I could, but sometimes those work hours just would conflict. But we're praying on some things even with that. But why don't you go ahead on and share with us a little bit about yourself, what you do, because I know you do have a Christian counseling service. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, I am a Christian counselor. My company is Good Company Christian Counseling and Life Coaching, LLC. I'm in private practice where, by the grace of God, I'm on insurance panels where I'm actually able to give biblical-based counseling and get paid through insurance companies. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
God is awesome.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I find it very interesting how God will strategically place us so that we are able to minister to our people and get compensated for it, you know. When I'm being invited onto insurance panels, my specialty counseling. I mean, where these people that seek me out because I am a Christian counselor, but they looking for more than just a Christian counselor. They are looking for what is the Lord saying about my situation.
Okay.
They are looking for a word. They want a word. They want to be prayed for, you know. And so here it is. God has given us a platform where we can literally pray for people and get paid to pray for people. I mean, I don't say it in no backing up kind of way. You know, I'm not apologizing for the fact that I get paid to pray for people. You know what I'm saying? Because God has made that possible. You know, God has made that possible. It was nothing that I did of myself. You know, again, apart from him, I could do nothing. Actually, apart from him, I could do no good thing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so I'm just grateful for it. I'm just really grateful for it, you know. So, and I have Christians seeking me out, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking for biblical-based counseling. But one of the things that I find interesting is they're looking for biblical-based counseling, but they've been exposed to so much religion that even when they're getting biblical-based counseling, they don't even know that they're receiving biblical-based counseling because they're so steeped in religion and all the do's and the don'ts, and they don't know about having a relationship with the Father.
Ooh,
so I actually have to talk to Christians about a loving God. I have to share with Christians the good news. The good news is that God loves you. The good news is that God loves us in spite of us, in spite of the mistakes that we make, in spite of the bad choices that we make. You know, God loves us. His grace is greater than any sin. His grace is greater than anything that we could do wrong. It says where sin is grace, just that much more abounds. So anyway.
Come on. You got me going already.
That's it.
Amen. Well, you know what? And that's a blessing because, you know, it is important that our mind, our body, and our soul is healed, is counseled, is elevated, is restored. And we do walk around, we as saints, or even just in general, we do walk around lopsided a lot. You understand, you know?
Yeah.
And we might be flourishing in our careers, or we might be flourishing in the body of Christ. And I know that he will bring the rest. I'm not negating the word of God. I would that you would prosper and be of help even as your soul prospers. But sometimes we are so lopsided in the other counsels in which we seek that we are not whole. We are not balanced, equally balanced.
Right.
So this is what brings those other rippling effects in our lives. So I want you to go ahead on and just begin to minister and to pray for the people. I'm going to let you know that already I have received a prayer request for someone who texted for their marriage, that their husband's faith, their husband's faith will grow stronger, that he will trust God and be patient. Patient for a patient for his answer and help, and keep the faith and continue to be there for her husband and kids. So, that someone is crying out on behalf of their marriage, and I know you're a married man, and I want you to go ahead on and speak. I'm not going to say anything else, but go ahead on and give unto them what the Lord is giving you.
Okay. All right, you know, one of the things is, even as we were talking about as far as counseling, I counsel many couples, and again, being able to give biblical-based counseling to couples, because that's the first institution that God established. You know, and so when I'm talking to couples, I'm always reminding them of the fact that God established marriage. And so in order for any marriage to be successful, God has to be right there in the center of the marriage.
Yeah.
You know, we have to continue to exalt God in our situations. You know, we have to let God be God. You know, let God arise and let the enemies scatter. You know, so there's a lot of enemies that's attacking marriages, because if I can attack a marriage, I'm going at the institution that God established. You know, so it's like it's the very first. As a matter of fact, God only established the marriage in the church. He only established marriage, and he established the church as institutions. Everything else, you know, everything else flows from there. Everything else flows from there.
Yes.
Everything
yes.
flows from look, when Paul was talking to the Ephesians church in Ephesians 5, he was saying, I know it's a great mystery. He's talking about married couples. He said, I know it's a great mystery,
mm-hmm.
but I'm talking about Christ in the church. You know, so he's saying, the thing that I'm telling you husbands, what y'all need to do, and the things I'm telling you wives I need to do, you need to understand, I know it's confusing, I know
mm-hmm.
it can become taxing sometimes, but I'm not talking about y'all literally, I'm really talking about Christ in the church. You know, the husband is supposed
yes.
to be like Christ, and the wife is supposed
yes.
to be like the
yes.
church.
Yes.
The husband is the head, and the wife is the body. So it ain't about diminishing nobody in their roles. It's really about recognizing what the word is saying about marriage and what we're talking about as far as covenant relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about covenant mm-hmm. relationship, which actually leads to, you know, it's a good segue into where I want to go. I got some scriptures that I want to read. I got some words.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
we on
go
blog
ahead.
Talk.
Ahead,
we want to do some praying. And you talked about the word of God. So in order for revelation, for you to be able to receive revelation, you have to honor the word of God. Honor of
yes.
the word of God releases revelation of the word of God, releases the rhema word.
Okay.
But you have to honor the written word to receive the rhema word, the right now word, to receive a prophetic word. You need to understand the written
yes.
word.
Well,
you know,
come
so
on now.
What
teach
is the Lord saying?
Today.
What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord saying? So let me, is it okay if I just read a few verses? I mean, it's more than a few, but because I'm already feeling myself getting stirred up here. So let me just say,
amen.
You know,
amen.
I already talked about sin. So let's go here. And I talked about grace even more. So this is out of the NIV version,
uh-huh.
by the way. It's the NIV.
Yes.
For
yes.
it is by grace
okay.
you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ
yes.
Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised mm-hmm. by those who call themselves the circumcised, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember,
yes.
that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Okay,
yes.
all right, okay, all right. Now, I like how see, in the King James, New King James, different translation, it doesn't say citizenship, it says commonwealth. And
yes.
I had to look it up because the spirit was stirring in me. Whenever something is about to come up, I can't sleep. It's hard for me to sleep when I know stuff is about to happen. You know, I mean, for real, it's a stirring that goes on inside of me, and God won't allow me to rest because it is in Him that I live, I move, and I have my being. It is God
Mama
in me.
Now.
You know, God lives in me. God lives
yes,
in me. I don't serve a
Jesus.
Dead God. I serve a living God, and because I serve a living God, when He wants to make something happen through me, He will stir me up, and He will say, this
yeah,
is what
yeah,
I
yeah.
want you to do. You know, my wife said to me the other day, she said, you know how you tell people, be careful what you pray for? She said, you need to be careful, talking to me, she said, you need to be careful saying what you won't do. She said, you need to be real careful saying what you won't do, because it's the minute that I say I'm not going to do something that God will say, yes, you are, because
so
He lives in me. He lives in me. And because He lives
yes.
in me, I'm serious. I don't have a choice. You know, Jeremiah said, I would have just given up. I would have stopped saying what you have told me to say. He said, because you overpowered me. Jeremiah is saying, God, you were stronger than me, and you didn't even give me a choice, really. He said, you really didn't give
My
me a choice
God.
When you look at it in the natural. He said, you really didn't give me a choice because you were stronger than I am. He said, but when I said I would not speak about you not one more time, he said, I just couldn't hold it because it was like fire shot up in my bones. I'm serious. I got me screaming already.
Yes, no
more. I really wasn't trying to do this. I really wasn't trying to do this because I'm trying to tell you it's things that I don't have no choice no more. I don't have a choice no more. You know what I'm saying? Because when God wants me to do something, he will wake me up at different hours and say, this is what I want you to do. And I'm saying, God, can I rest? He said, no, because you belong to me. I redeemed you, Jack. I paid for you. By my son's blood. You are blood bought. You are blood bought. And he said, you don't have it. No, I'll pay for you. You know what I'm saying? But here this word is, he said, we was once foreigners. We was aliens. It's, you know, but again, the commonwealth is, you when you was a citizen, you had rights that non-citizens didn't have. You know, we got this coming up in the president's election, you know, where they're talking about the mere fact that, you know, we want to send all the aliens back. You know what I'm saying? All, you know, okay, if you wasn't born here, if you wasn't, you know, okay, well, then that means America's going to be cleared out. You know what I'm saying? America will be cleared out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's saying here, it says we was not citizens. See, here's the thing that people don't understand about citizenship is you get the right to vote. You have the right to vote. Being a citizen of the kingdom. Here you go, because I know some people weren't expecting this. You get to give a tithe and an offering. As a citizen, you are allowed to give tithes and offerings. When you're not a citizen of the kingdom, you couldn't even sow a tithe. You couldn't even give God because you didn't have a God to give. You didn't have a God to worship. How about that? God to pray to. And this is what Paul is saying. He said you didn't even have a God. You didn't even have a hope. You didn't have Christ. You know, so here it is, when we want to get, you know what I'm saying, we want to get upset with God about certain things. He's telling us it was at a point you didn't even have a God. I don't even know if people really know what it's like to be hopeless, but I know what it's like to be hopeless. I'm talking about have no hope. I mean, no hope. No hope for tomorrow, no hope for the day. I don't know where I'm going to get something to eat. I don't know where I'm going to sleep. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to sleep. Nevertheless, find a place to sleep. I got all this stuff going on the inside, all these demons, this legion of demons going on the inside of me. I can't even rest. They won't even allow me to rest. You know what I'm saying? And the people chain me up, and every time they chain me up, I break loose, and I'm cutting myself. Oh, that's the Gadarenes, dude. That's not me. Oh, Jesus. That's the dude. But I know people that's like that. I know the people. Let me go on, because I want to pray for some people. I want to read some more. It says, but we was without hope and without a God in the world. In verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who was once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who was near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. We are members of God's household. I don't know if you've ever been homeless. I've been homeless before. No, for real. I've been homeless for real, homeless. I've been homeless more than once. You know what I'm saying? And it says right here, we are members of God's household. And here you go. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. See, I just told you all that. I just told you. See, God lives in me. He dwells in me. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. What? Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, and you are not your own, but for you was bought with a price. Therefore, glorify the Father. Ooh, Jesus. With your whole body. Okay, all right. So anyway, we talked about marriage, and it says the two shall become one. I just read the scripture where Jesus says, because of what Christ has said, the two became one. So even when we talk about marriages, we got to get away from him and her, me and mine. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how we as married couples want to separate ourselves from our spouse, even when we get angry. I don't want to talk to you. Don't touch me. Hold on. It says your body ain't yours. Your wife, he said, wife, your body is not yours. Husband, your body is not yours. Once you become married, that's my body. I'll be telling my wife, that's my body. And she said, that's my body. So I'm sitting up here and saying, I can't even. Hold on.
Yeah.
So, again, in Ephesians 5, it says, no man mistreats his body, but he loves and he take care of his body. Again, talking about Christ in the church.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But once you understand citizenship, once you understand oneness, once you understand that we have been brought together so that we're no longer aliens. And I ain't talking about no aliens falling, coming from the sky and, you know what I'm saying, green and all disformed and looking all funny and everything. But I'm saying if we talk about foreigners and aliens, you know what I'm saying, we looked funny. You know what I'm saying? When we were separated from Christ, we acted funny. You know, we had a different language. We had a different walk. We had a different talk apart from Christ. You know, so now he's saying you don't have to be foreigners no more, but you can be part of the commonwealth, a common good, citizens. See, when it says commonwealth or commonwealth, you know, one of the, you know what I'm saying, the old English, it says commonwealth. It says it's a common. It's common for us to be good. It's common for us to be healthy.
Yeah.
It's common for us to be supernatural. You know what I'm saying? It's common for us to flow in the prophetic. It's common for us to be apostles and to go and to tell foreigners and aliens what God is doing in the land. That's common for us. As apostles, as apostles and prophets, as a prophet of God, I hear a word from God and then I speak it. You know, so it says, so we're going to read the word of God and we're going to be established. We're going to love the Lord that God. And we're going to be established because we hear his word and we're going to hear his prophets and we're going to prosper. I don't know how people prosper and they don't have a prophet in their life. They don't have a prophetic voice in their life. I don't even know how people in the body of Christ even prosper and they don't have a prophetic voice. I just read to you that the foundation is the apostles and the prophets with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So here it is. I'm coming together with Apostle Overton as a prophet of God saying we're building something today. Something's going to be established. Yeah. I promise you, from this day forward, from October, you're going to mark this day, October the 15th, 2016. You're going to say something changed. You say a switch went off on the inside of me, and I was not the same anymore.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
you said, I was not the same anymore because God released the word. He's just using me. I'm just an oracle of God. You know, it's things that things sometimes I say, God, you really want me to say that? And he says, yes. And so the thing is that why God tells me so much, and I don't say this to many people, and I know my good friend and brother, Prophet Henderson, is on the line. I know he's on the line because I called him, and he said he's going to be here. But I've told people many times, you know, I say, God will tell me something because he says he know I'm going to tell it. You know what I'm saying? the older folks used to have this saying, you know, you like an old refrigerator. You can't hold anything. You know what I'm saying? So God understand that's about me. You know, he's saying, look, if I tell you, you're going to tell it. You know what I'm saying? It used to be an old song, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is. I don't know if you know that old song. You know what I'm saying? I can make a noise. I make a joyful sound, a joyful noise.
A joyful noise. Amen. Amen. Amen, prophet. But that's all right.
You know,
God enjoys your worship.
You know, and so again, here again. Now, I'm glad you said worship again. See, because here it is, again, as foreigners, as aliens, we didn't have a God to even worship. I want people to really grab that one. I mean, really grab hold of that. You didn't have a God to worship.
Yeah.
People understood about worship. Oh, my goodness. And can you imagine wanting to worship and don't have a God to worship to? Oh, my goodness. Wanting to pray and not having a God, wanting to bring your tithes and offerings and not have a God or a place or a home, to even bring anything to. I'm talking about being homeless for real, having nothing.
Oh, God.
Having nothing, no hope, no God. You know, people can say what they want to say as far as I don't believe in a God, but they do. They do, but they have a faith in something. And the thing that they have faith in, the thing they have faith in is not a living God. I'm talking about a living God. Mm-hmm. You know, the movie that came out, God Is Not Dead, you know, you had God Not Dead and God Is Not Dead too, you know what I'm saying? You know, and so, but I know that. And one of the ways that I know that God is alive is because I'm on this blog talk radio. I'm over here in Wauseon, Ohio. That's in the Toledo region, you know, and I'm talking to my sister over here in Chicago, Illinois, and it's people that's listening from all over the place. This is a demonstration that God is alive, because if God wasn't alive, we wouldn't be able to exalt his name on the radio. We wouldn't be able to do the things that we're doing right now. You know what I'm saying? We would not be able to minister to people the way that we minister to people. Do you know that prophets of old and apostles of old wished to be able to do what we're doing right now? To reach people, to reach people and wouldn't have to travel days. To reach people and wouldn't have to cross over the river. You know what I'm saying? When Jesus would talk about, let's go over to the other side, and storms will always arise. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying to be able to reach somebody like this by just making a phone call, dialing 10 numbers, and being able to reach people around the world, to go on Facebook, to go on Twitter, to go live, and to be able to reach people. I don't talk to people in Africa. I don't talk to people in Mexico. You know what I'm saying? When we just had our Heaven on Earth conference, we reached 18 countries. We reached almost a million people in a week's time. We reached almost a million people online, live. Online, we reached every state in the United States in 4 days. In four days, we reached every state. We reached 18 countries. We reached we reached over 900,000 people live on Facebook.
Well, you know,
if that ain't a clear indication that God is alive and the gospel is going forth, I don't know what is. I don't know what it is.
Well, you know what? Prophet, I don't want to interrupt you, but I need you to reach one more, because we have a caller on the line here, and I want to introduce him. This is Pastor Mel, and he's on the line. Is your mic open, man of God? Can you hear us now? I think his mic should be open. Pastor Mel? Okay, well, I don't know. His mic might not be working. I'm not for certain, but he called in to speak with you as well. And then if I were to look at another text message here, we also have someone here who is asking for, please pray that generational curses will be broken in this generation.
Amen.
So see, the people are crying out. They're crying out even over the things that have been rolled over, or that domino effect in this generation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah.
It's
you know,
true,
and it
but
is.
We
it
have
is.
That
it
power.
Is. It is true. It is true. It is true. You know, that Jesus came to tear down all the walls. He says, for this reason, the Son of Man was manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. For this cause, Jesus came into the earth so he may destroy the works of the devil. And every generational curse is broken because we have a generational blessing. We have generational blessing. We have a legacy. When people didn't know what to call God, they would say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, letting them know that it was a legacy, you know, that they was leaving a legacy, you know, and we have that living legacy too, so that we can say, because I see it on Facebook, Apostle, where you had your children, pictures of your children. I think one of your daughters was celebrating a birthday or something. And I'm sitting up here looking at these beautiful, people, and I'm sitting up here saying, that's a legacy. See, because they're standing next to the apostle, and even though they may see you just as mom, and hopefully they see you more as just mom, but it's the fact that the anointing that's on your life, you know what I'm saying, can just reach them, and it breaks something in an instant. You know, a lot of times we think it takes a whole lot, you know, but not with God. It don't take a whole lot with God.
Amen.
It usually take a whole lot with us because we're putting forth so much human effort. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, I know that people have been calling, and one thing I want to pray about, you know, is the renewed mind. You know, the renewed mind leads to the transformed life. He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God," Romans 12:2. You know, but Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, brother, that you present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service," or which is your spiritual act of worship, which is your spiritual act of worship. So I encourage you that you present your body unto God. You know, one of the last things I want to do before I start praying, because I really do feel I want to pray. These last few minutes, I'm going to just pray this out. One of the things I want to, you know, I do a workshop with a good friend of mine, Elder LaShawna Townsend. We do workshops on counseling God's way, where we actually introduce into people what God is saying, how God wants us to counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 2 years, when God gave me the name of the workshop or seminar or the training, he started changing the way that I counsel. Now, I've been counseling in the counseling field for 21 years, but the last 2 years, my counseling has changed because God has said it had to change. You know, and I'm looking forward to change again once I get this PhD. As I'm being transformed to getting this doctorate in ministry, I'm looking forward my counseling to change again because I'm getting it in Christian counseling, but it's a doctorate in ministry, so I'm working on that. I'm expecting my counseling to change again in the next two years that it's going to be different again. So that's God. Let's pray. I want to go in. You know, I hope y'all ready. It sounds like y'all ready. If y'all haven't gotten enough of the preaching and the prophesying, but I really believe that a prophetic word is going to come forth, a prophetic prayer is going to come forth.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, I hear right now that some people on the line, even as far as the person was talking about generational curses, one of the things that you've been dealing with right now is just a cyclical pattern. The families have been locked into cyclical patterns. Like, I know generations, I was talking about a legacy, but I know generations and generations as been on the welfare system, but again, the Commonwealth was public welfare. The Commonwealth was public welfare. It was common good for everybody. So even though people have been on the welfare system for years, once you become a citizen of the kingdom, that's a welfare system where God is going to make sure that you are taken care of well. You know what I'm saying? That you are taken care of.
That's why
it was called the Commonwealth. It was a Commonwealth.
Yeah.
It was well for everybody. It was a common thing for everybody to have things. It talks about it in Ephesians Acts, where everybody had everything in common. They shared everything in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
We had everything in common. You know what I'm saying? And we shared everything together. You know what I'm saying? With no separation. And that's how it is in the body of Christ.
Anyways,
I want y'all to get that as I pray, and I want you to hear the prophetic prayer and the prophetic sounding, and grab the word. If it's for you, just grab it. You ain't got to ask nobody permission.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Because
I'm releasing it. I'm releasing it to be grabbed. You know what I'm saying? So let's start off just glorifying his name. Father God, I just want to just thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to come before your people. These are your people, Father. And even as Solomon had prayed and asked for wisdom so he may lead the people, I ask for your wisdom right now that I may lead the people in this prayer right now. But I thank you right now for the wisdom because I have asked for wisdom. The spirit of wisdom has been imparted into. The spirit of counsel has been imparted into me. The spirit of understanding, of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me, Father, and I thank you for the anointing. Even as the apostle was introducing me, she says, I have many anointings because I've had many people imparted into my life. I have many people that have prayed radical encounters with God over me. I've had many people who have prayed things and have woke me up and have shook me in the middle of the night because people have laid hands on me and I have recovered from many things. I am one that has been in the mental health system. I am one that has been in the substance abuse system treatment field. I am one that I was receiver. Now I am a giver. And so I thank you that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So even as I have received years of counsel to be broken free and many years of prayer to be broken free from mental health and from disorders and and addictions and everything, I release it now in the name of Jesus that you will be free from disorders, that you will be free from addictions, that you will be free from nightmares and night terrors. I say that your sleep will be sweet. I say that even when you go to bed tonight, it's some of y'all right now on the line that you're going to take a nap. You're going to take a nap because you've been up. You've been exhausted all night long, just pacing the floor, worrying. It's like that God is going to give you a nap in the middle of the day. He's going to give you a nap. But when you take a nap, you're going to have a dream. And the dream is going to be about a bright future. When you have been having nightmares and night terrors for years. I say you've been having night terrors and nightmares for years. God is about to turn that thing now in the name of Jesus. I release an anointing now to break the cyclical pattern of nightmares and night terrors now. And I say that your sleep will be sweet. I say you will sleep and you will rest and you will slumber, for you have a God that never sleeps nor slumber. Psalms 121. I say that you will look to the Lord from whence coming your help. He, the maker of heaven and earth, that's who you will look to. You will stop being so dependent on men. So I break addiction approval right now, where people have been people pleasing. They've been doing everything to win the approval of a loved one, or not even a loved one. You think they love you, but they don't even love you. And you've been sitting around here trying to seek their approval. And I say that that breaks now in the name of Jesus. And I say the Lord loves you. God loves you. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved you. And Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but through him you might be saved. So I break off that spirit of condemnation that you've been carrying around for so long, that heavy weight of condemnation, that you actually think that it is okay to condemn yourself day in and day out, and that's not of God. That is of the enemy. That is a religious spirit, and that's a curse, and I break it now in the name of Jesus. I break it now that you feel that you have to constantly go around and put yourself down and berate yourself. That I'm trying to tell you that if it was somebody else, you will get away from them, but because it's you, you cannot get away from you. But I break that spirit now in the name of Jesus. I break it off of you right now. I free yourself from yourself. In the name of Jesus, I free you from you. And I say you will present your body to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your spiritual act of worship, that when you give yourself to God, he's going to give you back something better. You will never miss out giving to God. And I say give yourself to God like never before. I say total surrender, total abandonment. You relent after God as he relent after you. Oh, my goodness. It says the blessing will pursue and overtake you. God is the one that's chasing you down. And you sitting up here trying to run from God. You can't go anywhere. David says, if I go into hell, you are there. He said, there's nowhere that I can go. And some of y'all have been through hell. I'm talking about as Christians, as followers of Christ, you still going to hell. And I say, stop it now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I reach my hand into the abyss right now, and I snatch you up out of it right now. That thing that's been carried on to you for too long, for far too long. I'm telling you, for far too long. You keep putting yourself down and berating yourself. I said, stop it now in the name of Jesus. I break it now in the name of Jesus. I break it now in the name of Jesus. It's somebody on the line right now that every day you say something negative about yourself. I say, stop it now in the name of Jesus. You keep saying this negative stuff about yourself and constantly condemning yourself, and then you wonder why your life is a wreck.
because God loves you and he don't want you to live that way. Like I'm telling you, daughter, he don't want you to live like that. He don't want you to live like that because that man, because your father, oh my goodness, I see somebody at 13 and 14 and they were just constantly berated. They was constantly being told, you would never be this, you'll never be that, you ain't nothing, you ain't gonna be nothing, that all you're gonna be good for is for laying on your back. It's somebody that's been saying that they was gonna be a prostitute, and then they haven't been a prostitute, but they have been prostituting themselves. They haven't been like on the streets, or they haven't been a call girl with men been coming in, but you've been allowing men to come in. You've been allowing men, you've been depending on them to pay your way, to pay your way, believing this is the only way that you can live. I said the devil is a liar. You have a God that you are part of his household, that you are a citizen of the kingdom, and you no longer have to live that way. You no longer have to. I break it now in the name of Jesus. I said, take your hands off of this. It's God's property. I said, God pay for this. I said, take your hands off of it now. It says, sell not this daughter of Abraham who Satan has bound all these years. Oh my goodness. Shall not she be loose? I said, loose here. I said, loose here in the name of Jesus. I said, let her go. I said, let her go right now. And I break it down in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, I lay an axe to the root of that thing right now. And the root of it is you didn't feel valued. You didn't feel loved. But I'm saying you are loved. You are valued. You are valuable. Oh my goodness. Christ died for you. I want you to see. I want you to hear that Christ died for you. You are valuable. You are valuable. I mean, I know people say that if you was the only person left on the world, Christ would have died for you. But I'm trying to tell you, you're not the only person left on the world. Jesus,
yes,
you're not the
God.
Only one. You're not the only one that
yes,
experienced
God.
This. You're not the only one. You are not alone. Oh, my goodness. You are not alone in your pain. You are not alone in your grief. You are not alone in this horror. You are not alone in this fight. We're fighting with you now. We're fighting for you now.
Yes,
we're standing in the gap
yes,
before God, pleading it on your behalf. And we say, be free in the name of Jesus. We say, be
yes,
free
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. I lift up marriages to you right now. I lift up marriages to you right now. Which again, is the first institution that God established, and this is the biggest attack of the enemy. He wants to come after marriages, so I break it right now in the name of Jesus. I say,
yes,
husbands
God.
And wives will love each other. Husbands will love his wife, and wives will respect their husbands. I said, husbands will
Amen.
Love
yes, no
their wife. I said, husbands will love their wife. As a matter of fact, I challenge husbands and wives right now that you take 5 minutes a day just to think about how much you love your spouse. He shot
Carlos.
Five minutes a day. You will give yourself just 5 minutes every single day to focus on how much you love that beautiful person. Oh, my goodness. And I'm
yes,
saying that beautiful
Lord.
Because
yes,
God has made them beautiful. He said he makes everything beautiful in his time. And I'm telling you, on October the 15th, 2016, is a time for everything to be beautiful. I say it's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful time. Even as it's the fall season, I say some things will start falling off of you now. I say it will fall off you now. I say it will fall off you now in the name of Jesus. And I say that you will love
Jesus.
Your wife. You will honor your husband. Y'all will love one another. This is how the world would know that we are followers of Christ, by the love that we have one for another. It says, how can you say that you hate your brother and you say you love God and you say you are a liar? So I say I break the lying spirit right now that you
yes,
will love
God.
Your brother and sister who you see every day because you don't see God. But it says a pure heart will see God. So I take out that spirit, that heavy spirit of hatred and bitterness. And even as this thing that's going off in the world and the murders and the violence that's going on, the things that's happening in Chicago and the hatred that brothers have one for another, I break it in the name of Jesus. I release love to flow through the streets of Chicago like a mighty river. I release love to flow through the streets of America like a mighty river, and we will love one another. And when we see the things that we see on Facebook and the things that we see on TV, we will pray. We will no longer continue to be murmuring and complaining, but we will be a people that we will pray. So the things that we see in the world is part of our prayer list. The things that we see that's wrong in the world and the things that we're supposed to be praying about and not complaining about. So I break that spirit now in the name of Jesus. The spirit of murmuring and complaining. Where the spirit of murmuring and complaining, where God was sending the people of Israel a certain way. In the book of Numbers, and they started complaining because they didn't understand the way. And it said the Lord allowed the snake to come into the camp. The Lord sent the venomous snakes into the camp. And then they cried unto God again. They prayed. And when they prayed, God gave Moses the antidote. And the antidote was to lift the snake up, put the snake on a stick and lift it up, that whoever look on him should live. And it's still the symbol of medicine today. It's still the symbol of medicine today. So the antidote to murmuring and complaining is to look to Jesus, because Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. John 3:14 through 15. We know, so God so loved the world, but we don't know that. A lot of people, we don't know that God, Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, I shall be lifted up. And I'm telling you right now, we lifting up everything but Jesus. And I said, if we will lift up Jesus, we will see a transformation in our homes. We will see a transformation in our cities. We will see a transformation in our church. If we will just lift up Jesus instead of lifting up complaining about what's going on in the world, we are the answer to the world's problem. We are the antidote. We are a light of the world. We are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill. We cannot be hidden. We cannot be hidden. We are a lighthouse. We are a beacon of hope to a broken world, to a world that's in need of a Savior. We are the light. People are looking for a light, and we are the light. In the name of Jesus, we're the light. We're the light that people are looking for. When you go into a dark room, the first thing you start doing is reaching for a light switch. And I'm trying to tell you, I'm going to tell you like my son told me, that my son, he sees angels. My son that see angels. And he says, when you see an angel, it's the brightest white you ever see. It's the brightest light that you ever see.
Yes.
He said, it's so bright that you can't even see. But you're comforted.
Thank you.
You're comforted. See, you're being blind by the light, it may scare you, especially when you've been in darkness so long. You know what I'm saying? You got to get your eyes adjusted to it. But he says when you see a demon, it's the darkest dark you have ever seen, and you can't find your way because it's so dark. He said it's so dark, but he says, arise and shine, for the light has shone upon. We are the glory, gross darkness of people, and the people are drawn to the light. Kings will come to us. It says kings will come to us. Rulers, those in business offices. I said this over you before, Apostle, and I'm going to say this as I'm closing out in prayer. I'm telling you, business people are going to start calling up on you for your wisdom, woman of God. They're going to see you. Your gift is going to make room for you, but you're going to have officials. See, here's the thing. We make them so distant, and I'm telling you, not so distant. And I'm saying you can walk into a building, and a government official is right there, and they will sense your anointing that's up on your life. They will start asking you questions. They will set up a meeting with you, woman of God, and they're going to say, I need to talk to you because you have something that I need. They're going to know just by being around you that you have something that they need without you even opening your mouth, because the anointing that's up on your life will flow from you. The anointing that's on your life will flow from you, and it's going to be somebody standing next to you before the end of this month. Before this month is out, they're going to feel it. They're going to feel it, and they're going to start asking you. They're going to start looking around. They don't know what it is. I'm telling you what it is. You know what it is, but I'm telling you right now. They're going to start looking, and you're going to be like, and you're going to be saying what? Everybody going to be saying what? Well, something different about you. And it's a glow on you, woman of God, that people are going to start thinking. They're going to think something is on your face, and they're going to know that it's the glory. And I'm telling you right now, you so used to walking around with the glory on your face, you don't even know that the glory on your face, because you see yourself in the mirror all the time. But it's people that's in gross darkness that don't know what the light looks like, but they're going to start being drawn to you, woman of God. They're going to start being drawn to you because the light that's on your face, and they're going to be sitting up here. I know it's something different about you. I know it's something about you. And I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, that people are going to be drawn to you. So don't be surprised when you're in the store, when you're in places, and you're going to be saying, my goodness, this is different. This is strange. I'm telling you, it's going to start happening.
I'm telling you, it's going to start happening in greater measure.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you already know this. It's been happening. So I'm saying it's going to happen in greater measure. I know it's been happening already, but I'm saying it's going to happen in greater measure. You're going to be in places and you ain't even thinking about, you ain't thinking about nothing, what you got to get.
God,
and I'm saying it like this. I'm saying it like this. It's people there to get something. They didn't know that they was there to get something from you. They didn't know that they was there to get something
my
from you. Who's Jesus? Jesus,
God,
Jesus. Okay.
They're giving me my
all right.
cue. They're giving
okay.
me my cue, but you have lit up this prayer line this morning. We thank God for this man of God, Prophet Carter Thomas. We will bring him back. I just seal his prayer with the blood of the Lamb, and we come up against all the backlash and all the retaliation. And do know that every listener that called in, you did get this word as well. And we seal it by the blood of the Lamb. Father, we just thank you this morning, and we just speak back into his life. And Lord God, I ask that you would give him all the virtue, all the strength, all the peace and the joy, Lord God, that he has poured out on today, and that you will move by his spirit in his life in thine own way. God bless you, Radio Lamb. We thank you for joining us this morning. You have been with Follow Me as I Follow Christ, Global Prayer Warriors.